All right, welcome into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. 3 hour show today. We'll be here until 5 o'clock, and then commercial free hour of Padre Talk, our weekly roundtable discussion. Myself and Tony, and also Annie and Elston, Ben and Woods, all six of us breaking down the first 40 games of this Padres season, which has left the Friars with a 20-20 record. They begin a homestand tomorrow night against the vaunted Los Angeles Dodgers. Thanks to Dylan Hernandez for joining us. Although I got to say, Dylan was a little bit, I don't know, should I say arrogant? Claiming,
what?
Yeah, just flat out claiming that the Dodgers are going to be playing in October. I'm joking.
Oh,
okay. Of course the Dodgers.
I didn't know where we were going.
Of course the Dodgers are going to be playing in October.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly, and he was making sure that we knew that. Dodgers have won 7 in a row as they get ready to come. No, I love having Dylan on. He's great. A couple of quick notes before we get to the Daily Gambit. NBA coaching opening in Phoenix today because Frank Vogel was fired by the Suns. Frank Vogel has become now the scapegoat for two organizations. What, in the last 3 years, Tony? He was fired by the Lakers not that long ago.
Yes.
And they blamed him for whatever happened there, and now they're blaming him for what happened in Phoenix.
It's a cold season for coaches. Like,
yeah.
Not even season. It's like a cold time for coaches. Like, your hourglass is turned into a minute glass. You just don't get as long to work through some of the issues that it generally takes.
They're not
going to
give
right.
you any time when they add the likes of Kevin Durant and then the next year Bradley Beal. Although, if the Suns really wanted to fire somebody for poor performance, they would fire Beal. I mean, he was
an
injury disaster and then had a horrible playoff.
Right. And so is that Frank? How can Frank Vogel fix
it's
that?
Not, like, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault at all.
And no,
in the same way that it's not Darvin Ham's fault. The Lakers were in the spot that they were in. I know you got two of the best players in the league. That's the idea, right? Is if we have those guys, everything else will kind of work itself out.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, it's still a team sport. I mean, you got to have your stars, but the guys around them, you have to have a bench. You have to have some defense. And Phoenix, I don't think they were put together all that well. Minnesota ran circles around them in the first round. And I keep seeing this Minnesota Timberwolves team referred to, Tony, as one of the best defensive teams, like, in the last 20 years. I saw two or three people talking about it today online. We already heard Charles Barkley say that he thought that the best if they truly are that good on defense, with Edwards and Cat at the other end of the floor, who's going to stop this team? I mean, they may just run right through this playoff. I don't know that they're that good.
I mean, I think what the reason why everybody's saying that is because they've held Denver under 90 the first
twice.
Two games.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it starts. I think, you know, I feel like we've been hearing that like the last 4 or 5 years from whoever the team.
The hot team.
It was Denver. Man, they just play incredible defense.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, I think they're stopping the team that seemed to be unstoppable. And they're not just stopping them. They're like keeping them at a number that we really haven't seen since like the late 90s.
No.
In terms of holding teams under 90. Like, the new 90 points is 100 now. Like, you keep a team at 100, you did something in today's NBA. They've been able to turn the clock back. And so I think that's where some of it comes from. But listen, in the same way we talk about boxing, about styles, make matchups, I think Minnesota's style of play causes a problem for Denver.
Yeah. Well, you talked about under 100. They held them to 99, then they held them to 80. So Minnesota's off to a great start. That series does not continue again until Friday night. Jokic won the MVP award yesterday, Tony. Among others, Shaquille O'Neal didn't agree with it. As a matter of fact, Shaq told Jokic as much during the interview.
Yeah.
Said, hey, you know, congratulations and all that, but
I didn't pick you.
I think SGA should have won it. Stephen A. Smith went on one of his rants today. He thought SGA should have won it. I don't know. I got to watch a little more of SGA in this series and moving forward. But till notice, Jokic has been the best player in the league the last several years. So,
you know what it feels like? And I think this is the problem a lot of people have, right? I think for a long time, MVP, right? There was a long period of time where Michael Jordan literally could have been the MVP every year. They didn't grade it that way. There was a time when LeBron could have been the MVP on most years. They didn't grade it that way. And now it seems like they're grading it the way that people had thought in the past they should grade it. And that's how you end up with, you know, Jokic with, what, three straight now?
Three out of four,
because Embiid won it last year, right?
Right, yeah. But yeah, three out of four.
I don't know exactly, you know, what the criteria is. Jokic certainly is in. I mean, it's not as though he wasn't supposed to be in a conversation.
No, he was.
He was definitely.
Yeah.
He's having that good of a year. But I don't know if it's as good as SGA put up this year.
Yeah, and if you just watched the game the other night, Jokic looked really ordinary in that Minnesota game. But again, that was the way Minnesota's playing right now. The NBA playoffs continue tonight, and to that end, we get to tonight's or today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I just want to tell a quick Tony Gwynn Sr. story that I got on the chat that I think is amazing, and I don't want to forget this. But this came from Mark, and he says this. I want to share a quick story about TG Sr. Over 25 years ago, my pops had the opportunity to meet Tony at a meet and greet. Tony gave him two of his game-worn Rawlings number 19 wristbands. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, my dad came down to San Diego, gifted the wristbands to my 8-year-old son, who wears number 19 in honor of TG. Awesome. I can't make this story up. In my son's first at-bat, batting lefty, wearing his number 19 TG game-worn wristbands, smoked the ball in the 5.5 hole. It was almost like he was in the box with him for that AB.
Wow.
That's awesome. Good stuff.
That'll get you chills, Mark. Right there.
Yep. I got him.
Absolutely. I need to get some more Rawlings gear, though. Rawlings was hot back then, right?
I got a pair of your dad's batting gloves.
My dad's favorite wristbands. Guy by the name of Mims Bands, doesn't he? He had his face on there.
I remember those. Yeah.
He still makes those same wristbands.
Really?
That was like one of the first like wristbands. I wasn't really a wristband guy, but I was like, I want one of those.
Yeah. Ones. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, Mark. That's
a good story, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. Last night we made some bets. We made six bets. The first one, Knicks -4.5 over the Pacers. Chris chose Pacers. I chose Knicks. The Knicks won 130-121. Now, here's an interesting part of this game. Jalen Brunson left in the second quarter. All I could see all last night was, I can't remember the guy's name now. Willis Reed clips. Yes, because he did something like Willis Reed. I've been waiting for Chris to explain this to me.
Willis Reed left with, what was it, an ankle?
No, what happened with Willis Reed was he missed Game 6 of the 1970 NBA Finals. On this day in 1970 was Game 7. He was not supposed to play. He was scratched from Game 7, and he hobbled out of the tunnel anyway. And with his uniform on, and they put him in the starting lineup, and he hit the first two baskets of the game, and the Knicks went on and won the championship. So it's a legend moment.
But Jalen Brunson.
And yesterday was the same day.
Yes.
All these years later.
And Jalen Brunson had to leave the game due to an injury, and then he came back. But the bet was over under.
Did he get wheelchaired off?
Did he get wheelchaired off, Chris? I don't know.
Brunson? Yeah. No. He did not.
He's not Paul Pierce.
I got PTSD on the wheelchair being rolled off.
You love that moment.
The over-under for points in the game for Jalen Brunson, 37.5. Chris went under, I went over, and it was under, but he scored 29 for missing an entire quarter.
He was only under because he missed the entire quarter. This guy's still playing on another level right now. Unreal.
Rockies and Giants last night. The Giants were -1.5 on the run line. Both of us chose the Giants. Both of us just barely got it right because the Giants started out with a 6-run top of the second. But they ended up only winning by 2 runs, 8-6. Doesn't matter, though. We still win the bet, Chris.
That's right.
And in that game, over under 9 total runs scored. Both of us went under, and both of us were wrong because there was 14 runs scored. Jordan Hicks, over under 4.5 strikeouts last night. Both of us went over. Jordan Hicks had 5, so we hit that one, too. Finally, the Edmonton Oilers, -1.5 on the puck line over the Canucks. You chose Canucks. I chose Oilers. Canucks win 5-4.
Canucks with a 3-goal rally in the third period. Exciting game last night.
I want to get this in before I forget, because I want us to address it at some point.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have been following kind of that lawsuit with NIL and college sports.
Yeah.
I've been hearing some things behind the scenes that are really exciting. I want to talk a little bit about it. Nothing's written
down. Well, let's
talk
about it now. We can do our picks in a little bit, for sure. What's exciting about it? You got me excited now.
With our producer, how you feel about that? All right,
we're in the middle of a segment right here.
Just wave him off.
You know he does. He's going to be irritated.
You know we could go to 320. We could go to 320 and hold on.
No. I'll save it for 320. Finish the.
Chris,
I just didn't want to forget.
I actually think it's okay, but we'll save it.
We'll save it.
I'm excited now to hear what you find exciting.
Everybody, 320 probably won't happen, but be there anyway.
Yes, it'll happen. All right, so then we'll do our picks in lieu of that.
Yes.
For tonight, Boston Celtics 13 points over Cleveland. Game 2, Celtics blew them out by 25 in Game 1. Tony, do you see a repeat, or does Cleveland keep it a little closer this time?
What's the spread?
13.
I would say Cleveland keeps it closer.
I don't see how, but Cleveland has to keep it closer. They got to compete tonight.
The Celtics go cold. It's not like we ever seen them do that from 3-point land.
You're right. It doesn't. Yeah. Okay. I'll take Cleveland too. Based on that theory.
I'm going to go Celtics. Every time I pick against the Celtics, they beat me.
They've been, this just looks like a mismatch to me. I thought Cleveland must have had a better team than just Donovan Mitchell, but what I saw the other night was Donovan Mitchell only. We'll see what happens in Game 2. Oklahoma City is 5 points over Dallas tonight. OKC blew out the Mavs in Game 1. Luka Doncic was stopped cold in that game, held under 20 points for the first time in forever. SGA led the Thunder to a 1-0 lead. I say Dallas comes back tonight, so I'll take Dallas +5. Scraby.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose 2 in a row. Dallas
going with
five.
Dallas also.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, Mark Cuban's club.
Dallas.
Or another Dallas.
Yes.
Clean sweep for Dallas in that one. Who's going to score more points tonight? They both have a 29.5 odds, so is it going to be Donovan Mitchell for Cleveland or SGA for Oklahoma City? Who scores more? Scraby.
I do love me some SGA. I'll go with him.
Going with SGA.
I do love Donovan Mitchell, too, but SGA
I know
is
you
awesome.
Do. Tony, who do you like in this matchup? They're not matching up against each other. But
it's going to have to be Donovan Mitchell, honestly.
Yeah. I got to go with Mitchell, too. Like I said, I don't see anything else on that Cleveland squad. SGA has some other help. All right, here's an interesting one. Tonight, in the WNBA, preseason home opener for the Indiana Fever.
That's right.
That means Caitlin Clark makes her Indiana debut tonight. And they've got her listed with an over-under of 20.5 points.
In a preseason game?
In a preseason game.
This is ridiculous.
This is good.
It's really not ridiculous. They're getting chartered flights now.
Yeah, man.
All of the games are on TV.
I'm not
the
saying
odds, the prices, the attention, the eyeballs.
This means the league is starting to do
absolutely.
I am not saying it's a bad thing for popularity. I'm saying this is a bad thing for the degenerate gamblers out
WNBA
basketball.
Both things can be true.
All right, having said that, Tony, do you think she'll go over 20.5 in her debut?
She's going over.
Going over, he says, in a preseason game, okay.
I actually tuned in for a preseason game of hers already.
Did you?
And she was very good, so I'm going to go over.
You're also going over. All right, just to make it interesting, I'll go over too. I changed my mind in the middle. All right, one hockey game tonight. Carolina at home, must win.
By the way, NHL playoffs have been litty.
Well, the overtimes are so fun. The games are great. I mentioned last night Vancouver got 3 in the third period to beat Edmonton.
Did the Bruins end up winning that game the other night?
Oh, no. Well, they won the first game. Last night they led 1-0 and then lost 6-1.
Oh, wow. They turned it up.
And then after
them,
the sixth goal by Florida, Boston just dropped the gloves and said, forget it. Yeah, they just fought everybody.
Now, these two, if I'm not mistaken, they matched up last year, and Florida was the team that
ousted Boston last year. They're 1-1 this year. So, yeah, the Stanley Cup's been good.
I'm a little bit up on my hockey.
Yeah,
right
that
now,
was
dog.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. I got to say.
Very good.
I
got to
say.
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit.
Don Orsillo would be impressed.
Is that who you're getting? Oh, Dave. Dave loves hockey, too.
Actually, Jesse loves hockey. Like, all those guys, with the exception of Mud.
Mud doesn't like hockey.
Just, I don't know what he likes.
Hockey's exciting.
He only likes baseball.
Carolina, game three. They're down 2-0 to the Rangers. But Carolina returning home as a goal-and-a-half favorite. In the must-win, I say Carolina. Scraby.
I'm going to go with the Rangers.
You're going to go with the Rangers. Well, you're getting a goal-and-a-half.
Yeah, that's why I'm going with
all right. That. Tony?
New York.
Okay.
Some people.
By the way, there are four cities that are still alive in both the NHL and the NBA. Denver is alive in both.
Boston.
Dallas is alive in both. Boston.
Boston.
And New York City. And
New York City?
It's never happened.
East Coast cities, except for Denver.
I know. It's never happened. Well, Dallas is not an East Coast city. Last I checked, Mr. Geography thinks it is. it's never happened before where the same city has won hockey and NBA in the same
really?
Year. No, that has never happened. So we'll see. There are four cities that have a chance this year. All right, very good. There's our daily gambit stuff. We'll take a break when we come back. Tony's got me fired up. I want to hear about this good news, because when I hear NIL, I get, you know, I don't think of good news.
Yeah, there's never
so,
good news.
Tony says there's some good news. Let's find out what it is when we come back after traffic.
324, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. Having a good time here. Appreciate all the, that's not my birthday love, but my pop's birthday love you guys are sending my way. Scraby, you had another story for me?
Yes. We'll get into this. From 113 Designs. Quick Tony Gwynn Sr. story. My grandpa was a sports writer for the Union Tribune and covered the Padres. After game one night, he was on the field talking with Tony, and somehow or another, Tony offered my grandpa a game-used bat. My grandpa, with his briefcase and other newspaper writing stuff, asked how he was supposed to get it home. Tony then took off his long game sock, put the bat in the sock, and tied a knot at the top. That bat stayed in the sock as long as I can remember. Thank you, Tony Gwynn, for the great memories of my grandpa. Happy birthday. That's a good story.
Very good.
Another very good story.
I have to be honest. I don't know that I could ever see my dad taking a sock off his foot.
Like a sweaty sock?
Sweaty sock. My dad was a very clean, like he didn't mess around with that kind of stuff. So my guess is that he went and got a sanitary, because that's how pros, when they give a bat to somebody, they don't just bring you a bat.
They put it in a sock.
They put it in a sanitary.
Oh, did not know that.
You guys remember those long white socks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Drop them in there. They stretch out over the bat. You tie the knot at the end.
Wow.
Boom. You got a better presented gift to someone. So that's my guess. Nonetheless, appreciate the story. Let's talk a little bit about some college. And it's not just college football that this pertains to. I think it was the first day we were in Arizona. I was talking to some of the media members, and I actually heard this kind of bubbling in the background of this lawsuit that's happening between, I believe the lawsuit is between NIL and college football. The lawsuit is huge, and it sounds like there's going to be some type of settlement in the $2-3 billion range.
Okay.
One of the proposals that I was hearing in the background was that the college football rosters would be trimmed down. Like right now, there is no limit to how many guys you can have on scholarships.
Yes. People you don't notice it, but most college football teams have well over 100 players.
Right. There's
guys share numbers
right.
in college
there's
quite
only,
often.
Only 70 can be on your game roster.
Right.
But there are a lot more than that. So,
yeah.
They're talking, one of the proposals I heard, when was that? We were in Arizona, so that would have been a Thursday. We had a Thursday also. Friday, I was here, we were discussing different things, and that came up. And one of the proposals that I heard was happening in the background was, trimming putting a cap on the number of football players you could have to like between 79 and 89, something around there. And in this settlement proposal, one of the things that would be kind of a ramification of all of it was not only that rosters, but that the other sports would then be given more full scholarships across the board, right? So, you know, everything, you know, obviously there's Title IX.
Instead of having you've got 120 scholarships for football, you'd only have 70 or 80, which would
allow you
open it up for some more for other sports.
For other sports, obviously, okay. With Title IX, you got to be able to do
that's
it on
right.
both sides.
If you look at the San Diego State roster of sports, they have four or five men's sports. They have 13 or so women's sports. Why? Because football takes so many of the men's scholarships.
Yeah, according to this article, I believe it was Yahoo, Ross Dellinger, he says settlement talks are deep enough that college executives and NCAA leaders are socializing plans of a new compensation model that would include schools distributing more than $20 million annually to athletes beginning in 2015. That's all schools. So, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, the NIL issue and being able to compensate these athletes and certain schools being at a disadvantage. And I don't know that this fixes any of that, but it certainly seems like they are trying to finally wrap their arms around the changing in how college sports is working.
Right now, I would say this right now, Tony. I would say some bad rules would be better than the no rules that they have now. Because, I mean, things are just all over the place right now. Everybody is fighting for themselves. And, you know, they're all doing the best they can. I mean, all of these sports, especially the sports beyond college football and men's basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all the rest of these kids want to get some money, too. I think they should get some money, too. But so much of it is focused on the other two.
Yeah.
There's not enough to go around.
Dellinger goes on to say that one potentially impactful piece of the proposal could be scholarship restrictions by permitting schools to expand financial aid to the entirety of the sports roster positions. So this would allow for other sports to potentially receive more full scholarship. The example Dellinger cited was in baseball, in which current NCAA rules allow for 11.7 scholarships per year. That's in baseball, right? The new model could contribute full scholarships to all 32 roster spots on a team if schools choose to do so.
Yeah.
So, listen, that is that's a huge deal. Like, you're having to split sevens for a baseball standpoint. You're having to split 11.7 scholarships over a roster that's what, 30?
Right. People don't realize that college baseball players don't all get a full ride.
Absolutely not.
Some of them get a little bit of a ride. Some people get a little more of a ride than others. And it's all, you're right, they got 11 scholarships to divvy up on 30 guys.
Right.
And then how they can divvy it up however they, you know, choose and need to do.
That's just, you know, baseball. I mean, soccer, field, I mean, whatever, lacrosse. All of these sports now could be able to have full scholarships on their entire roster. So, I don't know. Again, I don't know if this fixes a lot of the problems, but as Chris said, a bad new rule is better than no rules. It certainly
which is how
like.
It's operating now. It
yeah.
seems anyway.
So
and nobody can keep track of it at all.
Yeah. So this is this proposal, this agreement that they are working on behind the scenes is pretty fluid, but it seems to be coming together pretty fast. It did say the proposed 85-player roster, and you won't be surprised by this, this proposed 85-player roster limit was met with backlash when conference commissioners shared it with athletic directors and coaches.
How many players do you need on a football team?
Yeah.
But you know what? Alabama wants to collect the best 105 players so that they can keep those 20 good guys away from Georgia and everywhere
they
else.
They don't want the walk-ons. They want to collect
yes,
all of it.
They don't want any of the talent to be spread around. So that's why the big schools are going to fight against this. But too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Anyway, it seems like it's coming down the pipeline here pretty quick. All right.
I hope so.
Let's get to break. When we come back, my man Elo puts his wig on and we do a little sports court. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Welcome in We have another edition of Sports Court coming up.
What sounder?
Order!
Oh, we're getting... Okay.
You're already out of order, Scraby.
Well, Chris is our order guy now.
It's too late.
If you're not watching the stream right now, you need to go to YouTube and search 97.3 The Fan.
It is ridiculous, but it is another round of Sports Court. It used to start out as arguments among sports fans.
Yep.
And it has evolved now into discussions about pretty much everything in the world of life. I feel like we're running our own
right.
version.
It's not even sports, just sports
hardly
anymore.
Ever now. Yeah, but we'll see what we have before the court today. We'll try to settle the whatever the argument is, give you an answer one way or the other. This is Gwen and Chris still. It is a different looking Chris at this point. We're going to get a wig for Tony soon.
Chris,
he agreed to wear it.
He did.
I heard him say it. He can't go back on that.
And where's Chris, that? Have we got another one?
No, we don't have one. Our guy Nate was the one who
bought
us
this. Nate sent this in to me.
I have no problem putting one on.
Yeah,
for the record.
Chris actually looks really good with the wig, I gotta say.
He does.
Well, hey, it might be crazy hair, but it is hair. I'll take whatever I can get. Let's see. Just a couple of little updates before we get to Sports Court. Yeah, Astros and Yankees playing today in New York. Astros lead 4-2. They're in the bottom of the fifth. The Diamondbacks beat the Reds today in Cincinnati. Maybe here come the Diamondbacks. They've won four in a row. Look out. And the Giants went for the sweep in Colorado, but the Rockies got them today 9-1. A rare win for the Rocks. Yes, the Rocks move temporarily ahead of the White Sox now in the ongoing battle for the worst record in baseball. All right, Scrabe, let's go. Traffic, then take me to court.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center. Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm very excited for this. It's been a while since we've had Tony doing this in studio, and Chris is the wig and all that stuff, so... Please go to the stream right now.
Get to it.
Search 97.3 The Fan if you want to see Chris wearing a George Washington-style wig. I guess it's not a George Washington. I feel like you're like a Mozart or something because of the crazy hair.
Little Mozart, maybe? I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. It looks like one of those old-time courtroom
wigs. It does.
Wigs, so.
It does. So yeah. If you have any issues out there and you hear any of these three topics that we're going to talk about and you think, wow, I need an issue solved by the guys, just DM me at Matt Scraby and let me know your situation and we will try our best to solve the problem for you if it's radio safe. So let's get to our first one. And it's going to go like this. I want you guys to settle an argument I've been having with some friends. They're the group that wants to do everything together. Dinner, bars, Padres games. I personally really like to watch the game while I'm there, and I do something they find to be very weird. I go to games by myself. I go, I sit, I watch, and I enjoy my time. They give me a hard time, but it's made me question myself. Chris, is going to a game by yourself weird?
I don't know why people think it is. I put it in the same category as going to a movie by yourself, which a lot of people think is weird.
That's
I don't.
Even better. No one knows you're even there.
Don't think that's a problem, especially when I'm on a road trip. Love sneaking out and catching a movie. Going to dinner by yourself, a lot of people find that to be strange. But let's go back to the ball game. I get wanting to concentrate on a game. I mean, you know this, Scraby, when my favorite teams are playing, I like to watch the games in my chambers by
your
myself.
Your judge's chambers
by myself. Yeah. I don't like, you know, my wife can be hanging, but that's pretty much it. I don't really want a lot of fans, a lot of yelling, a lot of cheering one way or the other. I don't say or do much during games like that. I just watch them intently. So, no. I do not think this is weird. I don't think you should stop doing it either.
All right.
Be out and proud of yourself going to a game by yourself.
All right. Tony, is it weird to go to a game by yourself?
Absolutely not. If you love baseball, some of the best way to watch it is by yourself.
Right.
You get a chance. You have a chance to lock in on it. You can score keep. You can do a lot of things by yourself. Typically, if you're with somebody, you know, a conversation will be had. Hopefully it's about baseball, but sometimes it's not. You lose track of what's going on in the game. I don't. My wife thinks I'm weird because I go eat lunch by myself all the time when I'm on the road.
Well, who else are you going to go eat lunch
with? That's what I'm saying. Like, she's like, you're by yourself? I was like, yeah, I like being by myself sometimes.
She remembers the movie The Lonely Guy with Steve Martin. And he used to go to dinner by himself, and he was all worried about it. And when he'd show up at dinner, they put a spotlight on him and follow him alone to his table. It wasn't Steve Martin. It was Charles Grodin, I believe. Anyway.
A lot of people on the chat are saying going by yourself is not weird. San Diego, I can't repeat the last name. I met one of the coolest season ticket holders by him going alone all the time and me sitting in his section, and we made friends. Sandy, who went to Scrabinator night, nothing wrong with going by yourself. I do it, love it, don't have to deal with the other BS, just the game. Joe says I go to ball games by myself. Brutus Van said, just went solo to a rugby game, had a blast. I've been to Padres games by myself. And this is just one that comes to mind, but when Albert Pujols came to town and he was about to hit like 700 or something, I snuck in with my media pass and I sat in the very top row of the stadium just because I wanted to be there and I didn't have anyone to go with, didn't want to make a big deal about it, just went. And I would do that too if I just had to buy one ticket, no big deal. So
nobody passed this along to my wife, but I'd probably rather go to a game by myself than in a group of her and six of her friends.
Oh, without question.
Right? Where you're sitting there amongst this discussion about
nothing.
Absolutely nothing to do with baseball. And then when something cool happens, you turn and you're like, wasn't that? And you're like, no, you didn't even watch it. What am I asking you for?
So. All right. So it's not weird. Do not let your friends give you stuff for this.
Order. Order.
J-Mac says, Chris reminds me of an old Joe Dirt. Does Joe Dirt remind me of an old Joe Dirt?
His hair got gray.
Yeah.
That's actually an aging Joe Dirt.
That's a pretty good one.
That's good.
All right, here we go. First, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right, I need some help on trying to figure out a way to handle something. There is this new guy in our group. He just moved here from the Bay Area, and he went to college with one of my high school friends. He's a nice guy, and I have no issues with him, but there is one thing that's really annoying. He is an expert on everything baseball. You tell him one thing, he goes into the analytics. And he has to have the last word. Lost my place because I looked away.
Yeah.
Have the last word in a conversation about baseball. Number one, I like to talk baseball, but I can't really listen to the analytic mumbo jumbo. Number two, I don't think he really knows what he's talking about. Tony, what would you do in this situation?
His problem is that he can't listen to the analytic mumbo-jumbo, as he said.
From what I gather, he hates talking to this guy because he's an expert on everything. He has to give his opinion on everything. That's what I gather.
Oh, you know, we got a few of those in the office, so, you know, I know how to... You
one sitting in this room right now with a wig on.
You got to be able...
I'll tell you what to do.
I think, yeah, I mean, just trying to have a conversation with a know-it-all in general is kind of tough to do. And then if I can only imagine throwing analytics at you, you just want to pull your hair. What if you have hair? I would just avoid the conversation with him, honestly, because if he's a true know-it-all, that means anytime you talk, he's going to have an answer for you. And if that's not what you want, just avoid any long conversation. I know a lot of times know-it-alls will set you up.
Yep.
They'll ask a question so that you have to then
engage the conversation.
Oh, you don't know? Let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So just avoid those. Just give short one-word answers. That way it doesn't expand.
That's a good answer. Brutus Fan says don't engage in a convo.
Yeah,
Chris, what do you think?
It's hard to do that. I think you set them up.
Set them up. Go into this, Judge.
Well, I'm going to explain how you set them up. And I don't have... I wish I had enough time to come up with an actual plan. But here's my setup. You bring up a subject that you truly know
truly
know everything about.
All right. Okay? I see where you're going.
Then you throw it out there to the know-it-all.
Yeah.
And then they will tell you what it is, but you actually know where they're right and wrong.
Okay.
And then you point out where their know-it-all stuff is wrong.
Incorrect.
And you say, look, you know what? I know you know everything, but on this one, you just don't. Because, and you're ready for them. It's a setup. Hopefully they get the message that you don't want to hear all their stuff all the time. It probably won't work, but it'll be very satisfying for you that one time.
I have the ultimate
way to do
this. Okay. Right?
You just start a normal, like a regular conversation, and as he or she gets going, you say, you know what, man? You think you know everything, huh?
Oh, no, you've engaged.
You know what? I don't want to hear from you anymore. You don't know everything. And then you just move on.
That would be the...
I don't know that that works.
I kind of like my absurd idea a little better, but it takes a little more work on your part to put a little trap together.
Say, you don't know everything, man.
I don't want your life.
I don't know why I started yelling.
I don't know why you went there
either. That's a great movie, Varsity Blues, by the way. Dominic says, what happens if the know-it-all actually knows it all? The problem with know-it-alls is they don't actually know it all.
That's why they are a know-it-all.
They're annoying if they actually knew it all.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because we'd be getting valuable information.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
It's the know-it-alls are the people that actually don't know it all.
You know, I'm going to... Shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But there's a guy, AA... Who's like 6 months in?
Going somewhere else, dude.
6 months in? Oh. There's a guy 6 months in who knows everything there is about sobriety. And when you give him a little bit of advice, he's, nah, bro, I got
it. That doesn't work.
I got it. This guy's like, I've had 35 years. You've had 6 months. I got it, bro.
He's got it, man.
I'm so annoying.
Let him stay standing on that.
All right. Everybody thinks the calling him out in front of a crowd is the way to go. So, Chris, you're...
Well, that was kind of my idea on a setup.
Oh, the Human Almanac knows it all. That is true. Chris.
Who, me?
Human Almanac.
Yeah.
All right. Last and final one. This one is interesting because I don't know what you guys are going to say about it, but here we go. My daughter is playing travel softball now, and she loves it. As parents, my wife and I said she can play for as long as she wants, and if she isn't having fun anymore, she can finish out the season and then look into something new. That's not really our issue. The issue is a parent of another kid on our team. The parent is arrogant, loud, and my wife told me to leave this out, but this parent is also extremely unattractive.
Yeah, you could have left that part out.
Her daughter,
listen to your wife when she tells you to leave something out next time.
I can tell this dude was fired up.
Yeah, he's not feeling her at all.
Her daughter makes a play, and it's the loudest cheering you've ever heard. When a kid on the team messes up, she loudly sighs and tells her kid to keep her head up.
Yeah.
When her kid messes up, she's as quiet as a church mouse. I'm really close to saying something, but my wife is begging me not to. Chris, should I say something? And if yes, what would you say?
Order!
Got the perfect solution to this. Introduce the lady to your other friend who's a know-it-all. Let her deal with that guy.
I don't know. He's not following.
Yeah, he's not following.
I was reading
I didn't make
chat.
A good connection.
Say it again. Never mind. What was it?
He looked at you like, yeah, no, that's not good. But he really didn't hear anything.
He didn't get anything.
What happened?
I said that this lady ought to be introduced to the other person who's a know-it-all and let her work it out. But
yes.
It didn't quite pan out the way I was hoping.
No, because there's only three people that know what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is really frustrating, to be honest with you. I can totally, you know, your wife told you not to throw in the comment about the other person's looks. Maybe you should stick with your wife on this one and just try not to say something, but...
She is extremely unattractive.
Yeah. You know what? Either that or just go all in the other way and walk up. You know, ma'am, not only are you loud, but you're ugly. I don't know what will happen as a result of that, but it'll settle the issue one way or the other.
I don't think it's going to be a good thing for you.
No, probably not.
It's not a good thing.
I can totally imagine this parent, though, because I've seen these parents. And
we all have. They're kind of wild.
Tony, you deal with a lot of parenting stuff because your kids are playing soccer and all that. Should you, or they're asking you, should I say something? If yes, what would you say?
I don't know. There's a few things. You know, if a parent is actually, like, talking to another child that has made a mistake that's not their child.
Yes,
if,
you actually have a right to say
that's,
something.
That's a problem. Like, yeah. that's a line crossed. Now, if...
It's more of like a...
if you're, let's say my daughter makes an error and she tells her daughter, hey, keep your head up.
Yeah.
I technically can't really be mad at that.
It's more like this from what I gather. Oh, keep your head up.
That's what you gather. That doesn't mean that's exactly
that's how my brain goes. That's how my brain goes. That's how I imagine it.
I mean, if it's going like that, you know, maybe you pull her aside, say, hey, listen, I honestly would like you to not sigh as loud or when my daughter makes a mistake. It would, it'd be appreciated because I certainly don't go, when your daughter. I think you got to have an adult conversation if necessary. I think you also got to keep in mind that your daughter is playing on this team. And, you know, typically these things, whether good we point. Want them to or not, they good trickle point. Down into the kids.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't.
That's a good point.
So I think the advice of your wife to let it be is probably sound advice.
All right.
Maybe sit out in the outfield so you don't have to be next to her.
That is a good point, too. B3619 says, boo her kids. See, you don't want to go into that. You don't want to go into that.
That can lead to a fisticuffs right there.
That, yeah, Joe says she's probably a Karen. Probably. Probably a Karen. I say you walk up to her and you say, listen. I was going to say something else.
don't
listen.
Don't listen to this guy either.
Listen. You talk to my kid like that again, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes.
Listen to your lovely wife.
You're threatening death?
I didn't say anything about death. I just said they're going to be sleeping with the fishes.
Sleeping, yeah. No human sleeps underwater.
Dead people don't sleep either.
That's what he's saying.
All right, we're closing up the courtroom.
Closing up the courtroom.
The wig is getting a little itchy. So I got to take this thing off and get back to normal for a round of Chris versus the fans. Don't forget, Dodger tickets are up for grabs. Keep listening for your chance. You were there at the beginning of the show. You know what to listen for.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm very excited for this. It's been a while since we've had Tony doing this in studio, and Chris is the wig and all that stuff, so please go to the stream right now.
Get to it.
Search 97.3 The Fan if you want to see Chris wearing a George Washington-style wig. I guess it's not a George Washington. I feel like you're like a Mozart or something because of the crazy hair.
Little Mozart, maybe? Okay. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. It looks like one of those old-time courtroom
wigs.
It does.
So yeah. If you have any issues out there and you hear any of these three topics that we're going to talk about and you think, wow, I need an issue solved by the guys, just DM me at Matt Scraby and let me know your situation and we will try our best to solve the problem for you if it's radio safe. So let's get to our first one. And it's going to go like this. I want you guys to settle an argument I've been having with some friends. They're the group that wants to do everything together. Dinner, bars, Padres games. I personally really like to watch the game while I'm there, and I do something they find to be very weird. I go to games by myself. I go, I sit, I watch, and I enjoy my time. They give me a hard time, but it's made me question myself. Chris, is going to a game by yourself weird?
I don't know why people think it is. I put it in the same category as going to a movie by yourself, which a lot of people think is weird.
That's even better. No one knows you're even there.
Don't think that's a problem, especially when I'm on a road trip. Love sneaking out and catching a movie. Going to dinner by yourself, a lot of people find that to be strange. But let's go back to the ball game. I get wanting to concentrate on a game. I mean, you know this, Scraby, when my favorite teams are playing, I like to watch the games in my chambers by
your
myself.
Your judge's chambers
by myself. Yeah. I don't like, you know, my wife can be hanging, but that's pretty much it. I don't really want a lot of fans, a lot of yelling, a lot of cheering one way or the other. I don't say or do much during games like that. I just watch them intently. So, no. I do not think this is weird. I don't think you should stop doing it either.
All right.
Be out and proud of yourself going to a game by yourself.
All right. Tony, is it weird to go to a game by yourself?
Absolutely not. If you love baseball, some of the best way to watch it is by yourself.
Right.
You get a chance. You have a chance to lock in on it. You can score keep. You can do a lot of things by yourself. Typically, if you're with somebody, you know, a conversation will be had. Hopefully, it's about baseball, but sometimes it's not. You lose track of what's going on in the game. I don't. My wife thinks I'm weird because I go eat lunch by myself all the time when I'm on the road.
Well, who else are you going to go eat lunch
with? Well,
that's
what I'm saying. Like, she's like, you're by yourself? I was like, yeah, I like being by myself sometimes.
She remembers the movie The Lonely Guy with Steve Martin. And he used to go to dinner by himself, and he was all worried about it. And when he'd show up at dinner, they put a spotlight on him and follow him alone to his table. It wasn't Steve Martin. It was Charles Grodin, I believe. Anyway.
A lot of people on the chat are saying going by yourself is not weird. San Diego, I can't repeat the last name. I met one of the coolest season ticket holders by him going alone all the time and me sitting in his section, and we made friends. Sandy, who went to Scrabinator night, nothing wrong with going by yourself. I do it, love it, don't have to deal with the other BS, just the game. Joe says I go to ball games by myself. Brutus Van said, just went solo to a rugby game, had a blast. I've been to Padres games by myself. And this is just one that comes to mind, but when Albert Pujols came to town and he was about to hit like 700 or something, I snuck in with my media pass and I sat in the very top row of the stadium just because I wanted to be there and I didn't have anyone to go with, didn't want to make a big deal about it, just went. And I would do that too if I just had to buy one ticket, no big deal. So
nobody passed this along to my wife, but I'd probably rather go to a game by myself than in a group of her and six of her friends.
Oh, without question.
Right? Where you're sitting there amongst this discussion about
nothing.
Absolutely nothing to do with baseball. And then when something cool happens, you turn and you're like, wasn't that? And you're like, no, you didn't even watch it. What am I asking you for?
So. All right. So it's not weird. Do not let your friends give you stuff for this.
Order.
Order.
J-Mac says, Chris reminds me of an old Joe Dirt. Does Joe Dirt remind me of an old Joe Dirt?
His hair got gray.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
That's actually
an aging Joe Dirt.
That's a pretty good one.
That's good.
All right, here we go. First, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right, I need some help on trying to figure out a way to handle something. There is this new guy in our group. He just moved here from the Bay Area, and he went to college with one of my high school friends. He's a nice guy, and I have no issues with him, but there is one thing that's really annoying. He is an expert on everything baseball. You tell him one thing, he goes into the analytics. And he has to have the last word. Lost my place because I looked away.
Yeah.
Have the last word in a conversation about baseball. Number one, I like to talk baseball, but I can't really listen to the analytic mumbo jumbo. Number two, I don't think he really knows what he's talking about. Tony, what would you do in this situation?
His problem is that he can't listen to the analytic mumbo jumbo, as he said.
From what I gather, he hates talking to this guy because he's an expert on everything. He has to give his opinion on everything. That's what I gather.
Oh, you know, we got a few of those in the office, so, you know, I know how to. You
one sitting in this room right now with the wig on.
You got to be able.
I'll tell you what to do.
I think, yeah, I mean, just trying to have a conversation with a know-it-all in general is kind of tough to do. And then I can only imagine throwing analytics at you. You just want to pull your hair. What if you have hair? Yeah, I would just avoid the conversation with him, honestly. Because if he's a true know-it-all, that means anytime you talk, he's going to have an answer for you. And if that's not what you want, just avoid any long conversation. I know a lot of times know-it-alls will set you up.
Yep.
They'll ask a question so that you have to then
engage the conversation. Engage.
Oh, you don't know? Let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So just avoid those. Just give short one-word answers. That way it doesn't expand.
That's a good answer. Brutus Fan Tough says one. Don't engage in the convo.
Yeah,
Chris, what do you think?
It's hard to do that. I think you set them up.
Set them up. Go also. Into this, Judge.
Well, I'm going to explain how you set them up. And I don't have – I wish I had enough time to come up with an actual plan. But here's my setup. You bring up a subject that you truly know every... You yourself
okay.
truly know everything about.
All right, I see where you're going.
Then you throw it out there to the know-it-all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they will tell you what it is, but you actually know where they're right and wrong.
Okay.
And then you point out where their know-it-all stuff is wrong.
Incorrect.
And you say, look, you know what? I know you know everything, but on this one, you just don't. Because, and you're ready for them. It's a setup. Hopefully they get the message that you don't want to hear all their stuff all the time. It probably won't work, but it'll be very satisfying for you that one time.
I have the ultimate way to do this.
Okay.
Right? You just start a normal, like a regular conversation. And as he or she gets going, you say, you know what, man? You think you know everything, huh?
Oh, no. You've engaged.
You know what? I don't want to hear from you anymore. You don't know everything. And then you just move on.
That would be the...
I don't know that works.
I kind of like my absurd idea a little better, but it takes a little more work on your part to put a little trap together.
Say, so you don't know everything, man.
I don't want your life.
I don't know why I started.
I don't know why you went there.
That's
either.
A great movie, Varsity Blues, by the way. Dominic says, what happens if the know-it-all actually knows it all? The problem with know-it-alls is they don't actually know it all.
That's why they are a know-it-all.
They're annoying if they actually knew it all.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because we'd be getting valuable information.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
It's the know-it-alls are the people that actually don't know it all.
You know, I'm going to... Shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But there's a guy, AA... Who's like 6 months in?
Going somewhere else there.
6 months in? Oh. There's a guy 6 months in who knows everything there is about sobriety. And when you give him a little bit of advice, he's not bro. I got it. This guy's like, I've had 35 years. You've had 6 months. I got it, bro.
He's got it, man.
I'm so annoying.
Let him stay standing on that.
All right. Everybody thinks the calling him out in front of a crowd is the way to go. So, Chris, you're...
Well, that was kind of my idea on a setup.
Oh, the Human Almanac knows it all. That is true. Chris.
Who, me?
Human Almanac.
Yeah.
All right. Last and final one. This one is interesting because I don't know what you guys are going to say about it, but here we go. My daughter is playing travel softball now, and she loves it. As parents, my wife and I said she can play for as long as she wants, and if she isn't having fun anymore, she can finish out the season and then look into something new. That's not really our issue. The issue is a parent of another kid on our team. The parent is arrogant, loud, and my wife told me to leave this out, but this parent is also extremely unattractive.
Yeah, you could have left that part.
Her daughter.
Listen to your wife when she tells you to leave something out next time.
I can tell this dude was fired up.
Yeah, he's not feeling her at all.
Her daughter makes a play, and it's the loudest cheering you've ever heard. When a kid on the team messes up, she loudly sighs and tells her kid to keep her head up.
Yeah.
When her kid messes up, she is as quiet as a church mouse. I'm really close to saying something, but my wife is begging me not to. Chris, should I say something? And if yes, what would you say?
Order!
Got the perfect solution to this. Introduce the lady to your other friend who's a know-it-all. Let her deal with that guy. I don't know.
He's not following.
Yeah, he's not following.
I didn't make a
good connection.
Say it again. Never mind.
What was it? He looked at you like... Yeah, no, that's not a good. But he really didn't hear anything.
He didn't get anything.
What happened?
I said that this lady ought to be introduced to the other person who's a know-it-all and let her work it out. But
yes,
it didn't quite pan out the way I was hoping.
No, because there's only three people that know what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is really frustrating, to be honest with you. I can totally, you know, your wife told you not to throw in the comment about the other person's looks. Maybe you should stick with your wife on this one and just try not to say something, but...
She is extremely unattractive.
Yeah. You know what? Either that or just go all in the other way and walk up, you know, ma'am, not only are you loud, but you're ugly. I don't know what will happen as a result of that, but it'll settle the issue one way or the other.
I don't think it's going to be a good thing for you.
No, probably not. But
it's not a good thing.
I can totally imagine this parent, though, because I've seen these parents. And
we all have.
They're kind of wild. Tony, you deal with a lot of parenting stuff because your kids are playing soccer and all that. Should you, or they're asking you, should I say something? If yes, what would you say?
I don't know. There's a few things. You know, if a parent is actually, like, talking to another child that has made a mistake that's not their child.
Yes,
that,
you actually have a right to say
that's,
something.
That's a problem. Like yeah. that's a line crossed. Now, if
it's more of like a
if you're, let's say my daughter makes an error and she tells her daughter, "Hey, keep your head up."
Yeah.
I technically can't really be mad at that.
It's more like this from what I gather. Oh, keep your head up.
That's what you gather. That doesn't mean that's exactly
that's how my brain goes. That's how my brain goes. That's how I imagine it.
I mean, if it's going like that, you know, maybe you pull her aside, say, "Hey, listen, I honestly would like you to not sigh as loud or when my daughter makes a mistake." It'd be appreciated because I certainly don't go, "Ah," when your daughter. I think you got to have an adult conversation. If necessary. I think you also got to keep in mind that your daughter is playing on this team. And, you know, typically these things, whether good we point. Want them to or not, they good trickle point. Down into the kids.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't.
That's a good point.
So I think the advice of your wife to let it be is probably sound advice.
All right.
Maybe sit out in the outfield so you don't have to be next to her.
That is a good point, too. B3619 says, "Boo her kids." See, you don't want to go into that. You don't want to go into that.
That could lead to a fisticuffs right there.
That, yeah, Joe says she's probably a Karen. Probably. Probably a Karen. I say you walk up to her and you say, "Listen." I was going to say something else.
don't
listen.
Don't listen to this guy either.
Listen. You talk to my kid like that again, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes.
Listen to your lovely wife.
You're threatening death?
I didn't say anything about death. I just said they're going to be
sleeping with the fishes.
Sleeping, yeah. No human sleeps underwater.
Dead people don't sleep either. So.
That's what he's saying.
All right, we're closing up the courtroom.
Like,
closing up the courtroom. The wig is getting a little itchy. So I got to take this thing off and get back to normal for a round of Chris versus the fans. Don't forget, Dodger tickets are up for grabs. Keep listening for your chance. You were there at the beginning of the show. You know what to listen for.